We're burdening everybody. We're going to go right to the Sugana of Samach Vov. Where we have an effect of one line Sugya over here, but the one line hides a lot of it, which is found in the Gemara of Basra and the Rishonim, both here and there, and in the Poskim, the Simon Kuf Chof. Now the line is Bishasas Hakana Kosin Venosin Apa Pishen Makirin. What is this in response to? The Dilma Tsari. What's that talking about? Misha Mushlik Lubar Baba Kala Sumer Yaskolo Yichtov Geth Yishtov Yichtov Yitnu. And we're afraid that maybe it's a Tsara. It's trying to make Tsara, trying to make Tsaras. Vashi Tsara Yishim Miskavenes Yilu Kalkal El Shetinosi Begezev Vatilos El Vaila Bishasas Hakonas and Rashi. We don't know if the name and the person match up with one another. Don't know. So the clear implication is that shalom b'shas ha-sakana, that you have to have a hakara. You have to know who we're talking about. Where's the source for that? It's in Masechta Baba Basra. There we are taught. Tafkuk Samach Zayin, way at the end. It says, "True Kosim Gedlish Afa Pishen Ish Tovimo." But the Mishnah says, "Uvilvad Sheyehei Makiron." Okay, what does the Gemara mean? What does it mean? Says the Gemara, "Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis." What does Vilvad Sheyehei Makiron? Uvilvad Sheyehei Makir Shem or Ish Beget. You have to know the name of the man. Bunch of kashis. Mar says, Shem Ish Beget, Vuadim, the Shem Ha Isha. You have to have, know both names. Otherwise, there's all kinds of possible kanunyas and scams that can be pulled off. Rek the Gemara, Akasha. The Lechus of Shneyosu Ben Shimon, Adorim Birachas, the Maksiv Gita, the Ozul Mamtila, the Itza, the Heich. A wild idea. They write a get, give it to the other man's wife, but all the four names are identical. His and hers are identical. Amaluhu Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon Adoram Birachat and Vigash and Shoseim Alazeb and Pnei Zeh. Fet the Gemara. He'll go to another town and assume a new name. He'll become Yosef Ben Shimon. Gemara says, well, Kol Shulchan Shmo Beir Shloshim Yom Ein Choshishin Mo. But once he establishes himself with a certain name, with a certain identity in a particular town, so we assume that that's his name. Why? So Rashi says, that's Rashi Bam actually Baba Basra. And the Rambam writes in Loka and of itself, it's endless. So a lot of Yesodas with respect to this issue are found here in the Sugya, Kuf Samach Zayin, in Masechta the Baba Basra. Okay? But now you don't have it in front of you. The best we can do is if you all have it in Masechta Gittin, everyone has it in front of Masechta Gittin. A Tosis Chav Dalar and Mabes. Let's turn there because that also discusses this Sugi as well. Chav Dalar and Mabes. What's the context? Well, I was talking here about a man has two wives with the same name. The question becomes, how do you divorce either of them? It's a question of whose identity it is. We'll talk about Yosef and Shimon again. Answer the Gemara. The Eidim is Sira of Rabbi Lazari. That's all. The Eidim is Sira. Fine. This is the famous Tosafot in the bottom. It talks about the idea of Muchach Mitochel, which we spoke about already even earlier in the Chazara. We spoke about it when we learned the Sugya originally. Now, in the middle of all this, Tosafot says, V'im Toma, the last narrow line. It says in Baba Basra, Kuf Samach Zayin, Kosin Gedli Ish Afal Pishen Ishtarimo, Lech Hashem Yosef Ben Shimon, The Gemara answers, "B'fnei zeh." The Gemara says, "What's the case? E below uchzuku. If you don't know for a fact that two Yosef and Shimon's, from askina lekamad lo chashinam." Tosfos quotes earlier from the Sugya Chav Zayin, "Lo chashinam le shnei Yosef and Shimon." And if uchzuku, then you have to write the third generation quantum of mail. It was namucham mitocho. What are you worried about? So then the Messiah knows what's going on. So what's the Gemara talking about? Baba Basra, Maria Chidish Neuro. The Ene the Messiah, but Dr. Liros and Zuishto came and Shemakim Shemo, Shemo, the cost of Beget Shemo, Shemo, the Hashin and Shemi, it's Nemelechis Chaveiro, Shemo, 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 Shemo. They don't think about this possibility. I mean, isn't it pretty crazy? They don't think about it. So then there'll be a, she'll be able to get married based on the Edom and Syria after she'll know Dictico. So what did Gemara answer? How's that going to happen? The Bez will ask, do you know it, that you're short of his husband and wife? And since it's a whole Taram, there'll be a doctor to see what's going on. In other words, it's just to make a noise to Edom and Syria should be a doctor. The last two lines. L'rotz al ataretz, then begash and elim came by kirin avin shezuhi ishto. Oh, one of a simpler solution. But to make sure, make a takana, you shouldn't make a get, have the get. Because the avin b'sirin know that it's his wife. You don't have to worry about giving it to someone else's wife. The angel takana tova. The imkain v'torach yim tzu avin b'sirin. It's difficult about avin b'sirin. You have to know exactly who they're married. It'll be difficult. Atkan Tosus Choftal, which relates to the Sugya Samach Vav, which relates to the Gemara Baba Basra Kuf Samach Zayin. Atkan, the actual text of the Gemara that we have here, the Tosus we have here, and I read to you some excerpts from the Gemara Baba Basra on Kuf Samach Zayin. Okay? This is the background. Now let's turn our attention to see, Halacha L'Maisa, how do we satisfy this requirement which is known as Hakara. Known as Hakara. So there's an initial dispute, a very fundamental dispute, which we want to talk about already from the very outset. So all the poskim say, all with one exception, that the fact that you can be mekel the makom sakana indicates that the entire problem is the problem on the level of the rabbanon. On the level of the rabbanon, we have a problem of writing without hakara because we're afraid of some kind of a kanunya, someone's going to have some kind of a scam. Trick. So yeah, that's why in the situation of Sakana, where we are the Loach Shavema side, it's a difficult problem. So we're willing to overlook our chashashas, our paranoias, our fears, and let the get go through. Fine. This is how the Chalkas Machokic writes. And the corollary of this is that Sakana is Lavdavka. Why only Sakana? And what will happen to some other kind of Shatat Chagol, such as Mokam Aguna? If you don't do the get now, she's going to become an Aguna, because husband won't show up, will disappear. So too, we should say the same Svara. Kosin Venos, Nafisha Makirin, the Taz, the Bach, all say the same thing. The exception is the opinion of Chazonish. Chazonish says, no, that's impossible, he says. How is it possible to write a piece of paper without knowing that the people's who are telling you what to write are not the real, or they're imposters. It's not with their real names. So, but la raya shtaros min atori, there's no raya shtaros min atori, it's nothing. Again, it's supposed to not only effect something, but even to prove something. How can I prove anything? Even on a daraisa level, how can I prove anything if there's no hakara? The specifics of hakara we saw, we didn't mention it yet, but it's in Shulchan Aruch. Alright, the particulars is up to Chazal to determine what's a valid Hakara. There's no Hakara whatsoever, says Chazanish, but the Raya starts with a Raisa. Nope. So the question becomes, what about Shas HaSakana? We can't make it on the Raisa with Shas HaSakana. Here's the answer. Since, in general, we never write a get without the without knowing who's who he is and she, who she is, although we make a very rare exception of Shas HaSakana. Why is it so rare? You mean to tell me just so happens that the person who fell into the pit is the same person who wants to hatch this plot to be the calculator. Well, how come, well, the chances of that happening are infinitesimal. That's why the fact that in this infinitesimal case we're going to be close to Afisha and Makirin does not in any way upset the general Raya of Shtaros. If you're going to be making every time it's a Mokom Adchak Vahigun, that happens so frequently. So then you're going to the entire system of Raya Shtar become Batul and Mavutul. Every single time you have a Sishtar, you have to worry. Maybe it was a Mokom Igun, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. Ad Kan Dvar
Vakadosh. Well, this is a very rare case. So we're going to be making the
No, no, no. He's saying that we have, by doing this, we have not upset the whole apple cart, the whole assumption that the average get that appears in front of Beis Din. So we see the get. So we're going to we have a right to assume that whoever the names are, the people who are divorced are the right names, and there's no monkey business, because we assume that there was a proper investigation before the get was written. In 0.01% of the cases, there's no investigation. No, but the whole system still works on the level of the Raisa. So the average getter comes in front of the Beis Din. They have every right to assume that there was a Hakara, and therefore she's divorced, and she can rely on the getter to get remarried. But if you're going to tell me that whenever there's a Shas Hatzchak, an Igun, or this, or that, there's so many different little cases, we're going to dispense with any Hakara, so by the time you're finished, a woman walks in with a getter in front of the Beis Din, we won't be able to accept it. Maybe it was written without any Hakara, proves nothing. The whole system is going to be suspect. Yes? He's saying that as a Shaila v'Doraisa, a butler Raya's Ashtaras. If you're going to allow a get to be written without a Hakara, whenever it's a Shas of Chak v'Igun, so butler din Ashtaras v'Ela Torah. That's what he writes. Hakara is necessary in order for the system of Raya Ashtar to exist v'Ela Torah, in the average case of a woman who walks up with a get to Beis Din, in order to establish that you have to have a Korah in each and every case. Your once in a Yovel exception will not be enough to undermine the entire validity of our assumption that everything is right. But if you make exceptions here and there, it will undermine the whole system. That's what he writes. Fine. The Torah is good, brought it up in a Raya. The Torah of Kuvav, it says that when it comes to Chalitza, the entire requirement for our Korah is midirabbanan. There's no proof. Then we're talking about a case where the actual chalitza itself, the chalitza itself, there's a chashash that someone's going to come to a woman who's not really a sister-in-law and go through the chalitza process as a sham in order to permit her to marry somebody else. That's only a chashash derabona. That's true. It's true. That's a chalitza. The chalitza is just a matter of fact of getting the chalitza process done. When it comes to a get, because they're chasima, and the Erechasima are the backbone of the Raya Sagerishin, Dina de Gemara, Tikkun Olam at least, and the Flamed Vav. So you cannot compromise the system by allowing anybody to do it and saying it's only the Rabbon. It's the Daraisa. That's the system of proofs that the Torah set up. That's the particular details of how much Akkar you have to the Rabbon. But if there's no Akkar at all, so the whole system will collapse. And Kuvav, it's only the Rabbon. And why? They're discussing the raya of the chalitza. They're just doing the chalitza itself. It's an action. It's not a piece of paper. It's a piece of work. If someone is taking off his shoe and doing all these things, that's for that the hakara is midirabon. It's only rights. This is against everybody, Rabosa. It's against the chelkos mechogin beferish, as the chazish himself notes that his position is against the chelkos mechalke. He has kasha against him. Again, this is, if you want, everything we're discussing now to this afternoon, all in one simon. Simon kuf chaf. Everything today is kuf chaf. So, simon kuf chaf, the chelkos mechalke writes in Sukkot Mechess, where the din of Hakara is found in Siv Gimel and Shulchan Aruch, he says, L'chadchila tzorach she'akiru mishum chashash ramoos. Shema yiten aget leisha acheres. Avlam chosu v'lo ikiru v'o emes kenu shekein shema ish v'isha av shebeshas hachasima lo ikiru rak samchu olav nira de koshu b'diyevet to beshas hachana kosin afapi she'ein makiru. So the get can be used and presumably can serve as the raya on the gerishin, Bidiyavit, proof shas ha-sakon. Chahasanish, this is absolutely incorrect. Absolutely and totally wrong. Because if you're going to do this, so then everyone's going to do it. There's always an ego and there's always problems. And the whole system of shtar raya of the get is going to fall to pieces. And therefore, in fact, he says, if they in fact did a get where there was no an absence of hakara, the get is no good. You can't get married based on that. You can't get married based upon it. Period. Because they did it incorrectly. If you did it incorrectly, the Torah's getting points. If you did it incorrectly, then you're not permitted to marry. Oh, only thing is, Torah's getting said that Mokam Egan is chak. That's like sakana. So they did it legally. And did it legally, then you can marry based upon it. The Aruch HaShulchan adds a very important nekuda over here, where he says that although kosrin v'nosna from epishen makirim, whether it be sakana or whether it be igun, because imlo achshav emasai, but after everything clears and everything gets back to normal, there's no more panic anymore. It's incumbent that upon the bezdin, upon the woman, that the proper validity, verification, I should say, of the names be done. You couldn't do it at first just with Takonas Chazal, and they said that you have to do it initially before you even write the get, before you even sign the get, it has to be Hakara. Otherwise, don't sign it. They made an exception. Shasa Sakona, Shasa Igun, Shasa Tchak, but that's only to write, to shoot first and ask questions later, but you have to ask the questions later. And if you didn't ask the questions later, or if you didn't find satisfactory answer to your questions later, so the Aruch HaShulchan writes one place, I wouldn't give out the p'tur. We have nowadays, we'll see, so we remember together, I wouldn't let her remarry, because we didn't do any investigation, we came up with nothing. It's only a cooler to write to get under an extreme situation, in case Chas V'Shalom should be an Igu and a Sakona, etc. But once you wrote it, you gotta go check up on it. No Shas HaTzchak now go check up. So as Aruch HaShulchan, he writes it in two places. One place he says, even with the evidence market, one is not so clear. But that's what he says. A kolponim, this is a machlokus in the Chazanish and everybody else about the din of Hakorah. Everyone agrees, Makom Sakona, it works. Why go on the Chazanish? Because it's such a small percentage of just the one who happened to want to, who happened to fall in the pit, is the one who wants to undermine this couple. So we had a slight problem with this. Because when the Gemara says, and Samavav, we're afraid it's the sorrows down in the pit, what do you think? The Gemara's afraid that of all the billions of people in the world, just the Tzara fell down in that pit, is now screaming out, Kol HaShomer Koli, you know, and then making a man's voice, saying, Kol HaShomer Koli, Yichtov Gev L'Yishti. It sounds almost preposterous. So the answer I thought was, we're afraid this Tzara is staging the whole thing. She gets a nice big rope, and she lowers herself into this bar, and then she calls out until she waits till someone's going to pass by, and then she'll go through this whole spiel, right? And she'll be mekalkel tzara. No, if that's the case, if I'm right, that's what we're worried about, and that's why the word tzara seems to appear here, then we should be afraid. It's not so rare. A lot of people who have it in for this couple want to destroy their happiness can load themselves into pits and stage this spiel. So that's a little bit of a problem I had in this. With this Chazonish. Let's go on. So the bottom line is as follows. If you wrote a get without proper authority, you had no right to write it without the Hakara, the Chalkos Mechok says it's good Bidiyevet, and the Torah's Gittin is not so sure. If you wrote it for no reason, it's not even good Bidiyevet, it suggests write another get. If you had Makom Sakona, then it's certainly good. It's a Mefurash Gemara. If you have to check up at the end, if it's a makom igun etzchak, Torah's Gittin says it's the equivalent of makom sakana, and therefore you have a right to write the get, and the get is valid, it's accepted, because it's only the union of the Rabbanan, and according to the Chazanish, Chas V'Shalom, you have no right to write in that kind of a case, because sakana is different. Sakana is a very rare case. Again, he's assuming that the guy just happened to fall into the pit, not that he staged the whole situation. That's the first shailah in this sugi. What's unclear is exactly what does a hakara have to be. There are two kinds of a hakara. There could be a hakara to know his name and her name, and there could be a hakara to know that they're man and wife. So the Beis Shmuel here in Os Dalit says, even if you know his name and her name, you have to know either directly that they're man and wife, either, or at least to know that his wife happens to have this name. So let's say, for example, Ein Ish no Imel. So you can't see the wife. She's in a different medina. You still write the get. The answer is, he says, I'm divorcing my wife. What's her name? Rachel Bas Yaakov. You have to have independent corroboration at the moment, at the time and place of the writing and signing of the get, that indeed his wife happens to be named Rachel Bas Yaakov. So writes the Beis Shmuel, quoted from the Ultimate from the Nemuka Yosef. That's in one direction. What about the other direction? If you know that the husband and wife, you know. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know the husband and wife? Well, that's part of the problem of what is a sufficient proof for hakara. You know, the husband and wife, because I don't know their name, I don't know his name, I don't know whatever. One thing I'll tell you, for the last 10 years, every day they walked in front of my house, and they were, as husband and wife, and they went into the room, to their house together, they came out in the morning together. I'm telling you, they went as husband and wife for 10 years. What their name? I don't know. In New York, happens all the time. I have people that I know their names. I have no idea their names. But I can recognize this couple. They go in, they go in front of me, they go in out of me, the next door neighbor. You know all your neighbors in your block. Yeah? No. But you see, you know, you can recognize a certain couple. They go in, you know, they go in the car together, come out. They can come in 11 o'clock at night, they go out at 8 o'clock in the morning. Husband and wife, you do it. What their name? I have no idea what their names are. Right? So what's the deal in that kind of a case? So the Beis Shmuel says, even that's a problem. The Beis Shmuel says, the Beis Shmuel says, No, that's the little company of Lena. One second. Vafilu emu ish v'ishto lefaneinu. V'yodim shizu ish v'ishto. You know for a fact shizu ishto. You know it. Tzvichim leida shmoso. As the Beis Yosef says, from the Nemuka Yosef, this was a typo over here, from the Nemuka Yosef. We already pointed out, it's not so clear that the Nemuka Yosef really says that. It's a bit of a problem with the word Akoras Pana means, and without going into the deal of the Prichodosh back and forth, it's not so clear. Why should I tell you it's not so clear? Don't have to believe me. I'll just tell you, read you what the Torah's Gittin says. The Torah's Gittin is more powerful than me. He says it's not clear, so you better believe it's not clear. And whether the Nemuka Yosef said it or not is not so critical. Because even if he did say it, maybe those will argue on him, and we suggest maybe he never really meant it. Without going into that's a little bit complex to go into now, let's put that aside. But does anyone disagree? Sure. Says the Torah's Gittin here in Simen, Kuf, Chof, Sif, Kotten, Yud. He says, this is the Torah's Gittin, Avon Yodin, Shezeh Ishtal Mamash, and Begash, and Techa Befneim, Ein Sor Lakash Rosab, Kivavuar betoisvis reish perakola get. That's our toisvis. The last two lines. The rot of the tire, the gash and melon came aki and ate which is the wish. So, why not? It's hard to do. We talk him to. But if you found it, hit a home run in the jackpot. You found it, ishvish though. Solved all the world's problems. I don't give us 2 yards of shipments. Okay, what? There's no. Once you know ishvish though, you overcame all the world's problems. That's what it says in the Gemara and the Taishim Mefurish. Umilashna Beis Shmuel, Mashma de Tzorich. Mashma, it's an understatement. No, didn't you say the fish? It's Mashma de Tzorich. So the Gittin is giving up. He's not happy with the Beis Shmuel. And the Chori, he's right. What could be the problem? Once you know the man gave the get to his wife, what could go wrong? What are you afraid about? We know the recipient of the get is his wife. That's a fact. How do we know it's his wife? So again, we said before, the simple way to notice his wife is by having someone walk in and say, listen, I'm an aide, I see them walking in front of my block all the time. I know the names, I know the wife. What happens in America today, but it's very difficult to get someone, it's hard enough to get the husband and wife to come to the best, and mostly people aren't so from, or they don't care so much, they're going to be able to find an aide who lives in their block in some distant, remote neighborhood to come schlep with them to the best, it's unlikely. So how do you determine if the husband and wife? So we suggested there's a possibility of through documentation. Now it's true that the Pesachei Tshuva here in Yud Beis, close to Beis Meir, is not so happy about documentation, such as a ksuba, maybe not be a valid document. Because why is the ksuba any better than their own, self-recognition? He asks. But despite what he says, the Yom Shel Shlomo and the Perek Dalet says, no, we do rely on Ksav, especially because Manazel Amua, it's hard to find people to come into Beis and to say what his name and her name is. We rely upon documentation. What documentation? So you can have a Ksuba, okay. You can have a marriage license, that's the best documentation. A marriage license. and the marriage license in New York is signed by the officiating rabbi. I've signed many a marriage license. That seems to be a pretty good proof. You have their names and it corresponds to other identification that they have, that this couple got married. But just to play it safe, you also try to get now that they all don't always have their marriage license. Do you have a marriage license on it? Do you know where it is? Oh, smart husband. Wife knows where it is. Good. But I don't know what my marriage license is either, to tell you the truth. I don't know. But you don't always have it. But there's another way to kind of documentation, and that is what we call today photo ID. Not stam, I don't know, YUID photo, mailer, you know, I mean, the guy can pull a fast one on the guards, I don't know, But if you have a more official kind of a document, such as a driver's license ID or a passport ID, that's the best. You can forge these, but it's not easy. And it's certainly, at first glance, a good valid proof of who's who. And have the names in the photo ID. So this is something which is a proof. Again, the marriage license is of course better, since they're married to each other. The fact that the other kinds of IDs don't prove that they're married to each other. It may prove that. Sorry, yeah.
We're talking about that, but these serve a different purpose. The marriage picture will say
that this is him.
No, that they're married to each other.
A
picture of the wedding.
A wedding picture.
Well, or ID will say that this is
him. Right, yeah. Correct. Hold on a second. It's not formal edus because after it's done by goyim, it's not a formal kosher edus. But I told you to say the mayor Einei Chachamim, a wall handler from Williamsburg, suggests that we have a right to rely in this manazeh on formal documentation as proof of who he is, let's say, licenses, who he is, what his name is, that pass, or what his name is. That's an English name. So first of all, by many people who aren't observant, they don't even know their name, we write the English name. I got a call from a rabbi last night doing a ksubu. I never put a ksubu with an English name. Because I don't deal, I guess, with a broad segment of the population. The ones I do ksubas for, my tamidim, just about every case we know what everybody's name is. In my shul, we know everybody's name is. But I withdraw that statement. I've been involved in a certain case of Russians. You know, certain cases. In that case, you know, they know they're the Hebrew names. They may not even got a Hebrew name. So in some cases, right there, English name. Someone called me last night. They trying to find the father's name in the ksuba, and the furthest they got was Seymour. So I said Seymour. Samach Yud Mem Aleph Resh Seymour. Something Ben or Bas Seymour, what's wrong? I mean, if that's the name, that's the name. If that's the case, of course, then the photo ID and the licensor and the passport is Skavaldic. It gives you the name that you're actually putting on in the get. But if you're going to use a Shem Kodesh, again, that same Sefer Meinei Chachamim discusses the following issue. If you have adequate documentation which describes what your name is, if Shem Chol is, you're going to put, in addition, you put a Shem Kodesh, if you have credibility with Yishem Kodesh, as it says, he's not sure. But the poskim say that meaning almost to be makel. But once you have documentation about the Shem Chol, we can rely upon you for the Shem Kodesh as well. Yes?
So first of all, these documents, they use them for the marriage. We also use them for the marriage.
Again, as I think Chaim said correctly, the marriage license and the picture, the wedding picture, will be proof that they're married to each other. The driver's license and the passport are proof of the names. Pashas most, but they didn't use in these things.
I was thinking now on the Hebrew names, since they have the license in other English, so the guy can still be lying about a Hebrew name. So the community, it's not believing that because I have my license.
You're asking a very good question. Yeah, very good question. So I'll answer you. On two levels. On the simplest level, in most of these cases, the English name is going to be in the get to. We'll have to discuss Seamus. I want to discuss Seamus Barichus, length, but not yet. Not for that yet. We'll discuss it at great length as in terms of a person has two names. For most people in this room have two names. A Hebrew name, and I took the tennis the first day. What's your Hebrew name? What's your English name? Doesn't know it's exactly the same thing. So you'll always be happily married for the rest of your life. But if there's someone else like you who had a Hebrew name and an English name, and he had to get divorced, Rachmana Litzlan, and he's being called by his English name as well as Hebrew name. What do I mean? His fans call him by his English name. The Gabbai calls him by his Hebrew name. He gets an aliyah. What do you put in to get both names? So the name which is in the license or passport is going to be used. It's not just Tam, it's a side name. Right? If not, then you have a better question. But again, I'm not going to go into that right now. Now, Rabosai. So let's go back to our original theme. Isn't the Torah's Giddens proof positive? So the answer is not proof positive. And it's for two reasons. I'd like to say he's right. I hope he's right. But I don't want to say, I think, but I didn't assume he's right. But I can't, I have to be honest. It's not an absolute proof from the last two lines of Tosis on Daf Chav Dalet on the base. And it's for two reasons. One reason is the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, Tosis is referring to a case of Tu Yosef ben Shimon's. So what are you worried about? He's going to give the get to the Rochel Bas Yaakov, who is not, again, we know the husband and wife. So you're afraid he's going to give the get to his wife just in order to start a trail of evidence going to raise a get, and then the wife's going to give this piece of paper, this get, to the other Rochel Bas Yaakov, and she'll go get married based upon it. Got to be crazy to do that. Because although it was only staged and his intention is only to give it to the other Rochel Bas Yaakov, but you know what he did bottom line? He divorced his wife! Because the names are accurate. It's to Yosef and Shimon's to Rochel Bas Yaakov's. He divorced his wife. He'll say, I never meant it. Drama Shibulev and Dvarim. We're not afraid guys gonna be so crazy to do that. So is Chazon Ish. But in the Torah's Giddens case, no. We don't know their names. We know that we recognize them by face as the husband and wife. So we're afraid they'll stage it in the following way. They'll write a get, and they'll put in they'll fake the name, put in a different name, and he'll give the piece of paper to his wife in the full confidence and knowledge that nothing's happening now because it's not her name. And then the get will be given to the woman whose real name it is, and her husband happens to be his name, and she'll go and get remarried based upon it. That's the difference between this case, writes Chazon Ish, and the Torah's Giddens case. Here's two Yosef and Shimon, and it's with married two wives with the same name. And in the case of the Torah's Giddens, it wasn't that way. That's one way out. Hold on 1 second. That's one way out. I saw the Shah HaMelech, which I spoke to you about once before, gets out a different way. Tosis is talking about Eide Mesira. And what about Eide Chasima? So Eide Mesira, who watched the giving over the get to the person's husband and wife, is nothing to worry about. Eide Chasima, maybe we're afraid that you'll write the get for husband and wife, yes, guarantee. He'll take the get and he'll make a vayivrach, and then he'll say, oh, I'll give it some other day. And he'll then pass it off to somebody else. Different between Chasim and Mesira, writes the Sefer Shar HaMelech. Now, the Torah's Giddens, once we talk about it, once we're on a Chumrah roll, you want to talk about Chumras? I think it's the Beis Meir who says that other Rishonim don't agree with Tosfos. They say even Tosfos is wrong. Why? Presumably they're afraid, yes, he'll do it. He'll divorce his wife. Just in order to create the situation, we have to get someone else's wife out of the problem. He's going to divorce his own wife? We'll be married tomorrow. What's the big deal? Chazal would have the chutzpah to do that. That's too much chutzpah to assume. So now, so the different, that's just on the Chumrah again. No, but the Torah's Giddens is also a person. You can't just push him away. So presumably the Torah's Giddens feels that you wouldn't have, it's all chutzpah, you need a psychologist for this. You wouldn't have the chutzpah to give a get to your own wife in Beis Din, listen carefully, you wouldn't have the chutzpah to give a get to your own wife in Beis Din, even though it's not chutzpah, it's not a name. Who's going to look at the small print? The average person would say, oh, he walks to the justice of the people. No, he walks to the Beis Din Yonah Gittin, picks on the top, Beis Din Yonah Gittin. He walks in with his wife, and he walks out with his wife. And I'm going to say, he divorced his wife, although he really didn't. And he had the paper to prove it because it's not really her name. But it's going to cause himself all kinds of tzaras. All kinds of tzaras. You know, so it's just a question of how much chutzpah a person is assumed to have. We spoke about at the very beginning about the first point in the Beis Shmuel. If you know that their husband, if you know the two names, you have to worry that they're not really husband and wife. So the Beis Shmuel is worried about it. And we suggest that it's not so clear that you have to worry about that. Why not? Why aren't you afraid of this possibility? So we said another set. Again, a chutzpah, an Indian of chutzpah. A guy is not going to walk into a woman with a woman who's not his wife and play a man and wife. It also takes chutzpah. So the Beis Shmuel is worried he's going to play man and wife with somebody else. And others say he's not afraid of that. Because in the Gemara's case, as we pointed out, he doesn't play man and wife. He just has to take his real wife, take the get, and give it to somebody else when no one's looking. It doesn't require so much chutzpah. So the whole sugya depends upon chutzpah. That's what it really boils down to. What we're afraid about, what we're not afraid about. Fine. This is all Medina de Gemara, I'll say. All Medina de Gemara. Let's discuss now, again, just to review briefly what we said until now in the sugya. Was the shadow of his akara the oraisa or not? Chazanish says yes, it's the basis of the whole system of star of the raya of the get. Again, I want to emphasize, I don't believe he means that if you give a get without akara, that she's a nation of the oraisa. I don't believe that's true, because the get was given. It's really her name. It means that the system of raya is undermined the oraisa. All right, so the raya is not valid, but the klav eshmaya, like in Bezim Shamala, she really is divorced with the rice. I don't think the Chazanish denies that. But he just says the whole system is going to be overridden, and therefore you cannot give a get for B'li HaKara except Sakona, because it's so remote, and not for Igun, not for Tchak, not for anything else. That's his sheet. Everyone else disagrees, so they give it over to Igun and Tchak, and they're not worried, the remote possibilities of Kanunya. So anytime there's a difficult situation, we're willing to make sure there's also difficulty. We have to make sure she's able to get married, so we're willing to forego the hakor. That's the first dispute, a very basic and fundamental dispute. There seems to be a dispute again. If you wrote a get b'li hakor, and you were supposed to have hakor, what's the din? Chelkos supposed to say it's good, Chelkos can say it's no good. Except that b'shas tzchak, you have a right to write it that way. That's still number one. Number two, we just got through talking about the various chutzpah aspects. Right? The Beis Shmuel says you need both. You need, number one, to know that even if you know the name, you have to know their man and wife. At least that his wife has that name. And we said that maybe that's not true. Maybe it's not true. Maybe at least in the case in which he comes to Bezdin, the fact that he walks in with it is enough of a proof because of the chutzpah quotient that she really is his wife. Others might argue on the Beis Shmuel. But we spent more time talking the other way around. You know your husband and wife. How do you know this? We started going kind of sidetrack. Do you know it based upon an Eid Echad, who said I saw them walking through my block for 10 years? Or is it enough to know based upon a wedding picture or a marriage license? It's again a dispute. But you know it. However you know it, you know it. The man and wife. Do we not have to have an Eid Echad to tell us this is his name and this is her name? So the Torah's Gittin says no, based on the Torah's Yassir and Chavdalim, and based on the last two lines. And the Loka Beis Shmuel, he doesn't like the Beis Shmuel. And the people spring to the defense of Beis Shmuel by saying, either Tuyosu ben Shim is different than when all the names are identical, he's not going to have the chutzpah to divorce his own wife. Right? That's what Chazanish says. And I guess Toros Gittin says, he wouldn't have the chutzpah to give a get to his own wife even with the wrong name, because it creates a pressure of divorce. Then you have the Beis Meir, so that others disagree with Tosus, and says that the apparently guy would have the chutzpah to divorce his own wife, or remarry privately. And you have the Shara Melech, who says, it's only talking about Eid and Mesira. But Eid Chasim is going to run away with it. He's going to run away with it. He's going to run away with it. And Eid Mesira is giving it. He's giving it to him. That's his point. That last point ties me into the next discussion, which is: are we really worried about the hit and run? The writer gets here's a woman and just say, "Okay, I'm coming back tomorrow," and he'll run with it, give it to somebody else. Obviously, the Shara Melech is worried about it. That's the distinction between Eid Chasim and Mesira, and the Torah's Gittin is not worried about it. He's not worried about it. Yes, I want the question.
The writer supposes that
if you know the husband and wife, all the world's problems are solved.
Right, but we don't require that because then it would be too difficult.
It's too difficult to do, but if you have it, you have it.
Right, so that implies that it would be too difficult to get only.
It's too difficult to mandate it, to demand it in each and every case.
No, but to mandate that you find out that they're only, that they only find out that they're married is simpler than finding out this guy's name and her name.
Not necessarily.
If you read those, that you need to know not necessarily. Name, her name, but not also.
No, either or. It's either to find their names or know their marriage.
Harder?
Because how do you know their marriage? How do you know their marriage? Know their name. The name is one guy knows it from their childhood. Yeah, he sees this is his name. Know that they're married. They live in a different town. Who knows they're married? I'm not married. Anyway, Rabosai, this leads me to the next issue, which is have things changed with Manazeh?
What is the
Yeah. Hey, they Mesira, once he gives the get to his own wife, no problems. Nothing can go wrong. But now what we're discussing over here in the Beis Shmuel is, not talking about the giving of the get now. The get can be given who knows when. Now talking about the writing and signing of the get. So we have to be afraid. They'll come in, a witness will say, yes, the husband and wife. They'll write the get. He'll take the get and do what he wants with it later on and hand it off to somebody else. That's what he seems to be driving at. This leads to the next issue. Is that a concern or not a concern? Torah's Gittin is obviously not worried about that. He can make this distinction. And even the Chazon Ish is not worried about that. How do I know? He talks about the issue of Bizman Hazeh. We have Kriyas HaGet with an ayin. We rip up the get. I mentioned that there are four reasons why the get is ripped up Bizman Hazeh. It's already quoted in this by the Shulchan Aruch and Seder HaGet. One of the reasons is somehow a continuation of the Mishnah we saw before, but for Kibbel V'Korah, you have to rip the Shas Hashma, and we stick with it like we David, we blow Shafer and Musaf. Funny example. That's reason number one that he gives. That's reason number one. A second reason to rip up the get is you shouldn't be able to collect the Ksubim, because he's able to be ready to make a deal in the Ksubim. The last two reasons have to do with Hotsoas Laz. Either the funny case of the Barhei of the Beis Shmuel, that he'll say in the case which I didn't read it afterwards, yet he read the gap, but I slipped you a blank piece of paper and I never gave it a whole. Or the much more common Balabadisha reason. You put the get out for look, anyone can start nitpicking at it. Everyone can find mistakes in it. Everyone! I haven't seen a tshuva from Moshe today. In English Moshe, we some kind of get with him from Houston, Texas to Luban in Russia in 1928. Rav Moshe has some kind of a technique, picks it apart, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. He sent the get. He was able to shliach. He found 10 things wrong with the get. Right? Rav Moshe was known as such a nice person. He wasn't trying to nitpick. You know, at the end he says, well, we can make it, but it's chak, it's makom egan, all salt sugar. You get it, yeah? People want it. I have a get, I wrote it, I hope I'm competent, and no one should see it to look over my shoulders. So that's the real reason, I think, the best reason for this minute. Kitzur, once the minute is established, maybe she says follows. There's no longer any problem about Korah. Because what? You know, Korah, for you're afraid that someone will take the get and run with it. But nowadays, assuming like all the posts come against Shara Melech, I'm not afraid someone's going to run with it. So you give the get to the woman. So the woman, in all likelihood, is going to give the get back to the Beis Din. So they said, do you mind giving us back the get? That's where Rav Henkensau has a whole thing screaming, don't you dare tell the woman she must give back the get. So she must give back the get. Then it's maybe they never really gave it to her, it's not really a full kinyan, a full krisis. All right, you tell the woman, listen, it's traditional the get is put into a file. She said, no, I'm going to run with this get. Psst, blow the whistle, and start the whole whistle, the same as you blow a whistle if the man runs with the get over here. So you blow a whistle, she runs with the get. And therefore you're not worried about the future not happening the way you expect it to happen. Yes?
She won't
run away against her p'tur. Oh, slowly. So now she gives back the get, we write her a p'tur. In the P'tur, you write the family name. In the P'tur, you'll be able to write identifying symbols. I tell you, the P'tur in America does not have anything but the family name. It's only identifying symbol, but I guess that's good enough. Yeah?
Does she believe that if she shows up and wants to get married and then
with a get?
And she shows him a get.
Any woman who walks in with a get to a bed, they'll say something. It's a red flag, she ain't come home. It's the biggest red flag in the world if you walk with a get today. Unbelievable red flag. They'll start asking, inquiring, the FBI. She shouldn't be having the get. Either rabbi gave it to her, doesn't know what he's doing, or she stole it, or she something, you know, I mean, no, red flag. Not some of the red flag will come up and come down. It's a case of mace. Psst. I think that story I told about the Montreal story. Caught. So that was a different case. They all knew it was a guy stole $1 million. So they had, I don't go into that. Right. Let's go back. Yeah.
So at what point nowadays that we
no longer give her the get, she doesn't know how to get the get. So the chashash of the Gemara, they'll take the get and give it to someone else's wife. All those chashashes can't happen nowadays because the get's not floating around. It's in the Beis Din's file.
So
shouldn't need a car? It's the right foot. Is Mala shouldn't need a car at all? Because there's no chashash. What are you worried about? The Ptur will have the family name. So you can't make any shtick if you don't have a family name. It's like the same name, and the same Hebrew name, and the same father's name, and the same family name, and you were fooling with all of them. It's just unlikely. The Chazon Ish didn't say this, although he does talk about the change of minig being very significant. I'll give you a muscle which is extremely significant. The Beis Shmuel writes in Simon Kuf Lamed that you're supposed to have a get which is kosher according to Rab Meir for the Tikkun HaOlam. This is Man HaZeh, we rip up the get. Maybe it's not so important to have Erech HaSima or Erech HaSima Ksherim, because you know, maybe it's going to be good if it's no Erech HaSima, maybe Yachol is Dayef, because after all, there's the Ptur that gives the Raya. He goes back and forth about the Gika Takonas HaSima or HaSima HaOvas, as far as Shmuel saying, he goes back and forth. As a matter of fact, I'll come back to that a little later. So you see that the minute that we have as Man HaZeh can impact on the laws of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim. Things change with Man HaZeh. See, halacha never changes. It does change, because this minute changed about ripping up the get. So that can impact on the issue of Hakorah. Perhaps with Man HaZeh should be no problem of Hakorah. Right, so that's the answer. L'chadchila, we try to do the best we can, even though nowadays perhaps it's not necessary. L'b'shat HaTzchak, perhaps there'll be another reason to be maker. That sounds like a pretty good svar. There is another change with Zman HaZeh. I'll get into that different than in the Talmud Gemara. We no longer write the Mokom Hadira. We no longer write at the place of the dwelling of the husband and the wife. Why? We're afraid to make a mistake, because we flit in and out, we're in Golos, we get kicked out from place to place. Mokom Dirasena Merupa Biyodeng. So this now caused a whole literature amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim, starting with the Torah's Gittin, and Simon Kuf Chav Chesed Beis, where the idea of leaving out the place is found. So he says, now to go back to the original Kasha. In the whole world, he's assuming that the two Yosef and Shimon's married to Rachel Bas Yaakov's. So when you knew that the Kshasha the Gemara Baba Basra now comes back. In other words, when you write the place where they come from, so we generally speaking will know there aren't two couples the same exact name, and if there are, they can get divorced out of Nezeh. But now in the whole wide world, you can't go in the whole wide world. So it's bad news. So it's bad news. So as a matter of fact, I saw that the Chazon Ish suggests in one place that these two changes, how do I say, cancel each other out, it's a bad word. One change will help out the other. In other words, he says like this, we have a tikkun olam, to have a get, serve as a shtar raya, she can be married. But b'zman hazeh, we took out the mokom adira, so the get will no longer be able to serve as a pratic with proof that she can remarry. What happened to tikkun olam? Says the Chazon Ish, it just so happens the other change in minhag, namely, we no longer give her the get, we rather give her the ptur, or the ptur has a family name or some other identifying symbol, compensates. And therefore the tikkun olam, at least in the spirit of the law, is satisfied by the second change. So here again, one can ask, if it's not going to be a mokom hadira on the get, once again we should argue that maybe we shouldn't have it should be no problem of hakara. I mean, the Torah is getting right, the hakara is not really a hakara, so it's not a hakara, so why bother? So the Torah is getting themselves says, well, it's a derabbanan, it's like a mokom sakana, and it's kedin. Only if she's local, then she's not supposed to marry, as we said earlier. That's what he talks about over here. So based upon this, in effect, he's saying there's no hakara. No, there's no hakara, so no bother with any hakara. Let them just get married on their own recognizance. They say this is my name. That's an effect that emerges from the Torah's Gittin, Kuf Chav Ches Siv Katan Gimel. Here, I have a small question about the statistics of the Gedolei Yisrael. Is it really true, Zman HaZeh, that the names are, that we work with an assumption that Bevada Bekol HaOlam, he has like this, the Bekol HaOlam Vada Ika Harba Yosef and Shimon. But if you remember, the Mechaber said in Kuf Lamed Vav, it's only a problem of Yosef and Shimon's married to Rachel Bas Yaakov. Is it a Vadai that they're Harba Yosef and Shimon married to Rachel Bas Yaakov? We try to get our actuary to work on it for us. We never got the statistics of how many Yosefs there are in the world and how many things. So certainly it may depend on what your name is. But if your name is something which has a, nowadays people have two names, which wasn't so common then. Now we have a Cohen and Levi, which we did it, you don't really require. And now we have the English names, which the people are called by in many circles. So in Kinuyim, even if you're Hebrew, you know, in Chas Shalom, a Hebrew name, an English name, Chas Shalom. Or your name Avram, or they call you Avi. Oh, so that's a second name. Even if you have no quote English name. So with all these things put together, it could be there is no Vados. Maybe it's not even a majority. There's another couple with your name in the entire world. And again, if you include your wife's name as a Simon, I'm not so sure you should do that, but the passion you should. So then it seems to me that there's even their assumption may be subject to question. So therefore, there's a possibility that at this point may not be acceptable to Allah. Maybe. Finally, in the Sugya of Akara, I want to discuss two other scenarios, which are not necessarily contemporary. But it was not, the last things we discussed were two changes we made in the last few hundred years, I don't know how to say, when we started ripping up the get, when we started leaving out the Makom Adira, goes back probably 500 years, just to throw out an estimate. What's 500 years? But the two new things, which you know are on the books from the beginning of the Gemara, officially, but they become more common in recent years. Recent years meaning because we now have so many people who aren't observant, who are coming to get divorced, and people are coming from faraway places, not like the old Kehillah, where you had a Kehillah of 100 people, 1,000 people even, and the rabbi knew everybody, and everyone knew everybody else, and was isolated and insulated. Things have changed dramatically, let's say, in the last 100 years. The moves to the big population centers and the people abandoning strict observance. So what are these two things? The first one is, what about a case where we have no independent corroboration in front of us in Beis Din that this woman was ever married? Who said she was ever married? She comes to Beis Din with a man. They say, who are you? They say, well, you know, I'm such and such. She says, I'm married to this guy I want to get from him. So if you don't know she was ever married, there's no way to corroborate it. She's, you know, today there's no records anywhere. So we can apply the principle of HaPesha Osar HaPesha Yitir. Pesachet Shuvah quotes the end of Yud Beis. HaPesha Osar HaPesha Yitir. Right? We mentioned a concept just earlier today. That the one who is believed to say that I was once married is believed to say, this is my husband. HaPesha Osar HaPesha Yitir. So the Pesachet Shuvah suggests this here in Sukkot Yud Beis, which could be extremely relevant Bizman Azeh. Now, of course, it's a problem. What do you mean, HaPesha Osar HaPesha Yitir? I mean, aren't you afraid that the get will now be used by somebody? Maybe she'll take the get, either go to another place where she is Bechetz Kaseh Shish, or even more insidious, she'll take the get and give it to somebody else who's Bechetz Kaseh Shish, and this other person is going to take the get and quote-unquote get divorced illicitly. So apparently, this goes back to what we spoke about at the very beginning of this topic. Apparently, the poskim who talk this language, HaPesha Osar, are part of the group of the poskim, which is unanimous except for Chazon Ish. They say, look, we have to balance the positives against the negatives. Here you have a woman who's not known to be married until now. She's coming to a Beis Din and she's saying, this is my husband. What are you going to say? Let's hold her up, make her into an aguna, because maybe she's going to use the get to get some other woman out of a bad marriage. It's not right. So we have a right to assume, this is in front of us right now, she's getting divorced, and no one knows she's married. She'll get divorced right here. Right here she's going to be assumed now to be a grusha. And if something else is going to go wrong, she'll give it to somebody else to fool around with. Or she herself is going to go to a place where they know she's married and walk around with this. No, we can't help it. We have to worry about the greater good. Because again, it's assuming, presumably, that it's a derabbana b'kachashash, and it wouldn't apply in this kind of a case. That's issue number one. Namely, she's a Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitri, because no one around here knows that she was ever married. Again, that's the Pesach Tshuva, end of Sukkot, Yud Beis. Now, there's another important point which I found, I only found it explicitly in Chazon Ish. He says as follows. He says, you know, we can't give a get to a woman because we're afraid the woman's going to take the get and say that she's divorced from this man, and she really isn't. Really, it's not the husband, or she's going to be someone else, not the husband. All these kinds of funny cases. Says Chazal as follows, and he bases it on various sources. He says, the only time that a woman is going to attempt such shenanigans is where it's going to go glatt for her. That's what she thinks. She's going to walk into a bezdin. The bezdin is going to know that she is the eishes tishah of this particular man. Whoever walks in with the piece of paper with the get, and they're going to say, "Oh, we know that she's the wife of a certain man. She's muchzakas ka eishes tishah ploni." So that we know that, and she walks in with the get. So we're going to take the get at face value. We'll allow it to remarry based upon it. And in reality, it's a sham. It's a farce. It's based upon a kind of a knunya. But suggests Chazanish, if it's a situation where she's not quote muhzakas ke'eshes ish of a certain ploni, it's not so well known that she is the wife of a certain individual with a certain name. Then when she walks into Besdin later on, this get saying that, okay, now I'm going to be able to be divorced with this get, and they'll say, well, who are you? Who are you? We don't know who you are. We don't know that your husband is named such and such. And they're going to start an inquiry. Oh, once they start an inquiry, who knows what will turn up? They may discover this whole kanunya, this whole collaboration, this whole vicious scheme that's being perpetrated by these individuals. So she's not, since she knows what's going to happen, you know, once you open the Pandora's box, you never know what's going to come out. Since she knows, or at least suspects, that since she's not well known where she's going to produce the get, that she is Eishes Muchzakas, Eishes Ploni, since she knows that, she's not going to walk in with this get in the first place. And therefore there's no problem, there's no chashash of a kanunya and a michshol in such a circumstance. This is also very relevant, Bizman HaZeh. Because in that Bizman HaZeh, based on today's circumstances, it's not always a situation in which she is, quote, muchzakas ke'eshes ish ploni, in which case you have to worry about a michshol and a kanunya. Since it's not muchzakas, so therefore we don't have to worry. I mean, the context of Chazon Ish, he said that you have now a ptur, a ma'aser bezdin, so we keep saying you have to have the ma'aser bezdin with the family name. We say it's better that you have the some ID number, etc. He says it's not even necessary. It's not even necessary because as long as she's not muchzakas ke'eshes ish ploni, she'll be afraid to pull any shtick. Now, he himself, the Chazon Ish, says it's not going to help me as far as the get itself is concerned. Why? Because he talks about a shadow of a doraisa. So we started this whole discussion. The doraisa is a kachshash. This is those poskim who rejected the doraisa to kachshash. Chalkas mechokik, Torah's gittin, etc. If they would accept this aspect of the Chazon Ish presentation, it's not muchzakas ke'eshes ploni, you don't have to worry about the chashash situation, then it should come out of tremendous kula. And these kinds of circumstances are very frequent. Very frequent. So these are two kulas which are not necessarily contemporary. These are kulas which go back to Dina de Gemara. But their incidence is greatly increased bizman hazeh. Both a woman who comes to bed, we have no idea that she's married at all. That's very, very common. The pesha also should apply. And number two, a woman who comes to Bezdin and there's no chazaka, we know, oh, yeah, sure, I know who you are. You're the wife of Yosef ben Shimon. That's such a rarity nowadays. So when it was in those days, when it was well known, we'd be afraid. Everyone knows Yosef ben Shimon. So what would get Yosef ben Shimon? And if something's produced by some fabricator, some kind of trick, and it'll go glatt right through the Bezdin, and she'll be able to get out of a marriage illicitly. Today, very common, we don't know. We have to go start checking up what she produces to get, the chule. So therefore, it might be different. Rabbi said, I'm going to discuss one more topic for the Chazor Shia. And the rest are we just not going to go into because it just can't do everything. And that's the sugya of Mili, or Me'imru, of Minui HaSofer, and how it translates into real life terms. So let's first talk about some theoretics, and then we'll talk about the Halacha Lemaisa, how we handle the situation. So we saw machlokas in the Gemara whether mili memes from the shliach or mili lo memes from the shliach. Okay, that's the Gemara machlokas of Meir, Rav Yossi, whole sugya in the Gemara. And there's an additional dispute about Omer Imru. What's the difference between mili and Omer Imru? Mili means I tell you to do something, and then, you know, on your own, you appoint an additional shliach. So there's always going to be two problems. One is kapeh de baal, I don't want you to do it, And two, that's not our discussion, not the psychological discussion or what he really wants. Two, the legalistic discussion. Do you have the power, Shliach A, to appoint Shliach B? That's a question. It's a question on two levels. One, we'll call me lead straight. I appoint you and you appoint somebody else. And number two, what we call Omei, where I tell you to appoint somebody else. Right? That's obviously better. But even though it's better, it may also not work. So how do you define mili? Mili means words. Words. So we saw Rashi, that Rashi said, when we pass the Dina, mili, the minister of the shliach, means you are not a shliach right now. I make A a shliach. A, so if I give, it's a simple pshat, Rashi, simple pshat. I give him something in the hand. This is the same thing I had last week. I give him something in the hand, say, you be my shliach, give me my shliach, lo'olochas haget. You take the get, give it to my wife. That's not mili, it's not words. I gave you a piece of paper. I gave you the get in your hand. So now I'm asking, so now you have the abilities, we saw it in Gemara, we'll discuss it again next week after we finish with the Bechina, we'll talk about, come back to some of those loose points, that you can take the get and give it to somebody else. A shliach rishon can give it to a shliach sheni. That's not mili by any stretch. I gave you a get, I did a mice and a shliach get to you, you give the get to somebody else, and it's going to ultimately get to the wife. That's certainly good. Right? But, if I gave you nothing, I told you write again for my wife. I didn't give you anything. Nothing. Merely words. Gave you a verbal appointment. And now you go and tell somebody else to write again. That's no good. That's no good. Because merely laments for the shliach. That's a simple interpretation. Merely means words as opposed to deeds. Simple interpretation. Very simple interpretation. Easiest part. This being the case, we understand very well what the Ran says in our sugya. We have a case, another case in Gittin, which is also called Mili. It's a Shliach LeKabbalah. A woman appoints a man to accept the get on her behalf, gives him nothing in the hand. So can this Shliach LeKabbalah make a second Shliach LeKabbalah? The Ran says, no! Because Mili la Mimsun the Shliach. Cannot be done. Fine. This is the simple interpretation of Mili. The simplest interpretation. Very, very simple. Very simple. So, mili is going to be a problem when it comes to shliach l'kabbalah, be a problem when it comes to ksivas aget, but will not be a problem if I give something in the person's hands. I give a shtar gerushin, a get in the person's hands, or alternatively, I'll give them a shtar kiddushin, or maybe even kesef kiddushin in the person's hand. It's not mili, I gave him something in the hand. I gave him something. Okay? Simple pshat. Fine. However, there seems to be a different shita lurking in the background. We'll call the shita HaMordechai, both in Gittin and in Kiddushin, saying two different things, but they sort of form the same way of thinking. Here in Gittin, the Mordechai says, a shliach l'kabbalah can make a shliach l'kabbalah. Against the Ran. A shliach l'kabbalah can make a second shliach l'kabbalah. 2 days in the Chabad. In Kiddushin, the famous Yisod of the Kadosh, the holy man, the martyr, whose identity we otherwise don't really know, the Kadosh Midruz or Miradush or Mardush or Midruz. I don't know how, what the next word is, really, I don't really know for sure. This holy man, this Kadosh, said as follows, that if a man makes a shliach for Kiddushin, the shliach of a Kiddushin cannot make another shliach. Why? It's called mili. Mili? What kind of mili? He gave a ring, he gave a star. What kind of mili? Because the Kodesh as follows. It's considered mili because you, the shliach, cannot unilaterally complete the shlichus. Can't do it without the cooperation of the woman who has the right to say no to your proposal of marriage on behalf of the man. The Kiddushin cannot take place. Therefore, it's considered mili. Mili in the sense that it's not a, quote, gemar hadova. That you're not able to complete it on your own. So you're not a full balabos. You can't make, so therefore you cannot make a second shliach. As opposed to a shliach l'kabbalah, quoted Mordechai and Gittin, that although nothing was given to the shliach l'kabbalah, but the shliach l'kabbalah, if the get is given to him, end of story. Once it comes to his hands, so then it's over. As opposed to, don't need anyone else's consent. Once it's in your hands, it's over. As opposed to a shliach kiddushin, But when it comes to his hand, he's still not able to guarantee that the kedusha is going to take place. Maybe the woman's going to say, no, this is what the, these are the two Mordechais, on the opposite end of the rod. Minaf kamina bisman azeh. Big problem if there's on the Pesachei Tshuva. Can you write? The Kodesh is against the Minhag HaOlam. What happens bisman azeh? We often have what's called a Shliach Sheini. Shliach Sheini by us is Meisen B'chol Yom. Why Meisen B'chol Yom? We'll discuss it on Monday, Mr. Shem. But just briefly, why is it Meisen B'chol Yom? You have a case where no one can go from place to place. You can't. Well, that's the case of, you know, Rav Moshe's case. The husband was in Houston, Texas, and the woman was in Luban, Russia. It's quite a distance, you know, in the 1920s. So how do you get around this? It's only one way to get there. What's that? Mail. M-A-I-L. Right? You put it in the mail. So, what's going to be? You have to have a shliach de what? First Mishnah. What do you have to say? Before a nifta, before a nafta. So how do you get around this problem? It's an insuperable problem. There's an answer. What do? In Houston, Texas, you make a shliach. You be a shliach to give the get to the woman, or to make another shliach. And what does he do? He comes to the Bezdin and says, before a nechtam, and I'm making huts and cloths of the Shamus in Luban, Russia, as a shliach sheni, and I'll put it in the mail, and we'll make the shliach sheni, we'll announce him, and we'll appoint him, we'll send him some shlichus, his arshah, and all goes in the mail to Luban, Shalom al Yisrael. What are the magic words which the shliach in Luban has to say? Shliach Bezdin ani. The Mishnah, is done very commonly. Frekt not a biyuda, gewalt, according to the Kaddish, it shouldn't work. Why shouldn't it work? Because although bisman gemara, a man could divorce his wife against her will, and therefore it's not considered to be immediately because he could do the maradavar. But bisman azeh is a cherem drabbeinu gershon. Rabbeinu gershon said you're not permitted to divorce a wife against her will. If you're not permitted to divorce a wife against her will, so gewalt. How can it should be considered like mili? How can a shliach rishon ever make a shliach sheni? A major problem. So you'll say we don't follow the kaddish, but there are more quotes the kaddish in Nichus Kedushin. Similar amid hey, I believe it is. So if you follow the kaddish, it should come out of here. It's no good. So maybe you'll say that the b'yevet, if you divorce her against her, it would be good. So there is no reason to say shliach v'arveira. It wouldn't be good. Maybe don't accept that not a Yehuda. It's one of those situations like a blanket. Whichever way you pull it, you know, something's going to be open, you know, exposed. We can't b'chora cover all the bases in this case. That's the Pesachei Tshuva's kasha. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're saying that theoretically he can divorce his wife against her will, even though he can't do it through a shlichus, because a shlichus of Araveira could have given it to himself with his own hands.
That same question really, she can just fly around the world, always avoid restraint,
without the chenam and the gershom.
No, external factors don't affect it. She could run away forever if she really tried.
Maybe. So what Eli is saying is that since the man himself can give the wife a chenam and a gershom get, which would be chal, even though the shliach can't do it. The shliach can't do it. That's only considered an external. As opposed to kiddushin. Kiddushin, even the man himself can't divorce, can't marry the woman against her will. But here, the man himself can't divorce her against her will, even the Ben Gershom's din would only be makam b'chatchila but not b'diavad. Well, the shliach himself cannot do it. That's an external kind of thing. It's still considered, okay, that's a good lumdush of teretz. Okay, Pesach Hashem doesn't give that teretz, but maybe it's not a small print there. Maybe he said it. This is a very long piece. Okay, this is the issue of Mili proper. Not really a good answer. Maybe we just said now is the best. Not a good answer. Now, let's just talk about now Omer Imru for a moment. What is Omer Imru? So Omer Imru, it's a little unclear what it means. What it means and why it's, and why and if it's no good. It's a big machlokas apostle. What's the shayla over here? It ties into another critical issue, which is minui shalo b'fonav. By appoint a shliach not in his presence. Is that good or no good? The ksivas I get. Yes or no? So the Ramban said, it's no good. Had it been good, Omer Imru, Omer Willa Plony, would have also been good. Would have also been good. Nope. So why is Taka no good? It's no good because it's considered Shalol Lishma. We'll come to this more careful analysis later. It's considered Shalol Lishma, says the Ramban. That's why Omer Imru Willa Plony is no good. Shalol Lishma, because there's no direct contact between the husband and the son. Kuk Tachoris, the Ramban says. When it comes to a matana, with no need for lishma, so all my imul aploni would certainly be good. It's a minu shalom afana. There's no din lishma, so what could be bad? So writes the Ramban. However, many other poskim, I would say, many other poskim, maybe most, argue on the Ramban. Many poskim argue on the Ramban. For example, the Ra'or and the Ran both say that minu shalom afana is good. Is good. There's no chasaron of lishma. Halacha lemaisa, minish la befarav by a get is good. I ome imru. Nah, they say ome imru. That's not minish la befarav. Minish la befarav is I get up and I say I hereby appoint Chaim, who's in China, as my shliach to write a get to give him the right shtam matan and do it. He didn't say that. He told the first group. He said to the first guy, listen, I'm telling you, tell him. I didn't appoint him, you're appointing him. And even if I designate the names of the pashas, you're appointing him. So therefore, different, not the same as the mini shalom b'fono. If that's the case, Omer Imru is a sort of a kind of a mealy problem. What does mealy mean? If I make you a shliach, you cannot make a second shliach. Even if I tell you to make a second shliach, still you can't make a second shliach. So it'd be a problem when it comes to a shtar matana. But it would not be a problem if you phrase it differently and make a mini shalom b'fono. That's a double machloka between the Ramban and the Ra'or. And the Ran, as far as Omer Imru is concerned, forget it, b'matan. Now, Rabosai, a major problem. If you have a situation where the Sofer and the Baal cannot meet, technical reasons they cannot meet, what do you do? So according to the Ran and the Ra'or, there's a simple solution. You have a minu shalom b'fonim. According to the Ramban, that's no solution. You left mamash with a niguna, what do you do? This leads to our next discussion. The Ran and our daf discusses the issue, based upon the Gemara in the 7th Perek, about a minu v'ksiva, appointing someone in writing. By writing him the letter of appointment, I hereby appoint you to write a get for my wife, but this is my name, and this is her name, and no. Is that good or is it no good? So here, something very strange emerges. The Ran, on our daf, says that minu shalom b'fonav, a mina b'ksiva. Although last year you might have said it's really good, but it's no good l'maisa. Why no good? Why no good? Because it's a tosefta. The tosefta says the mesechta given here in the 7th parak alocha aleph. The tosefta is in the 2nd parak alocha yud. Parak beis alocha yud. That mina b'ksav is no good. And period. No and if so, but stam it's no good. So what emerges going to the round? Mina shlo b'fonav is good. Mina b'ksiva is no good. That's the Ran Shita. What's the difference, presumably? I guess he holds Ksiva Lab Kedibur. It's a general Shas Indian, Ksiva Kedibur. You need a Mini B'Peh. So Minish Lab B'Fonav Mamana B'Peh. Good. Mini B'Ksiva is no good. I guess he holds Ksiva Lab Kedibur. That's what you have to assume according to Shita Saran. But the Ramban, Rabbo, holds exactly the reverse. The Ramban holds that the Minish Lab B'Fonav is no good. We just explained it by Richus. No good. So Shema. But the Ramban and Ayin Beis quotes Tosis without arguing that Minui B'Ksiva is good by a Pikeach, the person who has no problem with intelligence. It is good. So the question is it so? And if it's so, why is it so? So the Chazanish is oblivious to this. He says it's no good. He doesn't discuss the Ramban. Didn't have the Ramban. Holds the Ramban as quoting Tosis for Lelo Svirle. He doesn't agree with him. I don't know. He doesn't discuss it. So this becomes critical to understand why our Minish Lab B'Fonav is no good according to Ramban. It's critical to know for a variety of reasons. For the Chazanish, he thinks the reason is no good is because the Din of Lishma demands that there be a meeting of the minds, if you will, a simultaneous meeting of the minds at that moment in time. The Baal should know what the Sofer wants, the Sofer should know what the Baal wants, they should agree to have the get written by the Sofer on behalf of the Baal. Anything less than that is no good. So of course, Shalova Fanov, he is no good. And of course, if that's correct, if his child is correct, then the ksiva should also be no good. There's no meaning of the mind. A man writes a meaning ksav on Tuesday and then Shlich gets it on Thursday. There's no a simultaneous meaning of the mind of the two parties would certainly be no good. That's what the problem is. We already found the Ramban that it is good, or so it seems to say it's good. So how are you then going to explain why in the world a minui shaloba fanov, according to the Ramban, is no good, but a minui b'ksiva is good? How do you explain that? The ksiva is also shaloba fanov. Oh, here we have Rav Moshe's Strat and Rav Zalman Nechemi's Strat. Two gedolei olam. Rav Moshe's also Strat, he thinks that the reason why minui shaloba fanov is no good is because the sofer is not required to believe that the Baal appointed him. I shnayim edim. I'm not clear to believe it. I have to leave my life on that basis, based on Xeris Akosas, I'm not clear to believe it. And if I don't have to believe it, even if I happen to believe it, it's still a chasson in the Shema. The Baal tells me, I see it, right, I get that, I believe it. Seeing is believing, hearing is believing. But hearsay evidence that someone quotes me from the Baal is not necessarily believing. And if I don't have to believe, if I do believe, it's a chasson in the Shema. The problem I have with Rav Moshe Zal, I told you this before, it's akin to the problem which the Ran asks against the Ra'oi asks against the Ramban. And it is, the Gemara seems to say that these situations depend upon the sugya of Mili. Depend upon the sugya of Mili. If Mili would be good, then Oma Imru, which is a Mili Shlava Fana, would also be good. And if not, not. According to Shidas Igros Moshe, it's a lack of credibility. You have a big problem. I'm not mechuyav to believe the person who's quoting the Baal and saying he wants me to write the get for him, even if halachically, Mili Mimsu and the Shliach, and he's considered halachically to be the Shliach of the Baal, as if he'd be the Baal himself. If you're talking about the laws of credibility, he's still not the Baal. There still might be a shortcoming. If you understand, if the guy represents the Baal Pidin, so there's a meeting of the minds with this representative who's as good as the Baal. But if the Kwantra Rav Moshe is a little bit shver, and the Chazan himself is also shver, we said before. So I like Rav Zalman Nechemi's trap, which I said over in a different language before I saw this tshuva of his, but it boils down to the same thing, which is that the Lashon of Rav Zalman Nechemi, I read to you that the Tzivui, in order that there should be a tzivui, which is the prerequisite for the Shema by get, has to be a tzivui, a command. A command can only exist before. There can't be any command shalom before. If I woke up and I get up now and say, just imagine, I'll make the phone command. I command. I command President Clinton to see to it that the peace process in Israel should be in such and such a fashion. I get up and I command. And I'm, you make you two of you tell him. You tell the president what I said. You command somebody hundreds of miles away. What kind of command is that? That's no command. That's ridiculous. I mean, not only is it purposeless, that's not going to listen to me. But besides that, it's not ridiculous. To command, that's what I think what Zalman Nechemi means. To command, you have to have a direct line of communication. Either I say it to you to his face, or, here's the interesting part, I can write you a letter. Dear Mr. Clinton, I command you. You, the commander-in-chief, I'm the lesser commander. I command you to do such and such. So I guess I'll never get past the secretary. But if it came to it, it's a command. A guy from New York gave me a command. I'm not going to listen to it, but it's a Chazachal Hashem command. Because I wrote him directly. There's a direct communication between me and him. And that's considered a valid command. So that's why I think it's the best path to explain why Minish Lo Bafanav is no good. Why? Because it's a no direct command. If you held Mili and he's the Baal incarnate, then it would be in effect a good command, right? And if you have a Ksiva, it's also a good command. But a Minish Lo Bafanav, we pass the Mili Lo Mimsiran. He's not the Baal incarnate, so therefore that's not considered a valid command, and therefore the get cannot be written in such a case. That's my favorite shot is this shot. Oh. Now, let's put everything together and come to some kind of a conclusion. Chazanish said like this. He thinks Minish Lobafanov is no good. And Minui Bichsav is also no good. Also no good. Oh. Now, Minish Bichsav should be no good. The Chodorang wasn't offered a Tosefta. And he says Tosefta is not talking, is talking about a plain case. But we found, we, not such a big bookie. The Mepharash, just look at the bottom of the Rashi tells you. The Rashi brings the same Raya. He says, Yerushalmi. It's also Yerushalmi. But you look at the Yerushalmi. It's according to at least to one Amora who says that Tosefta Stam is referring to a Cheresh. Referring to a Cheresh whose intelligence is under question. That's why Mina Bichsav is no good. Otherwise, Mina Bichsav would be good. Oh. Point number two along these lines. The Chazon Ish is confronted with the Mefurash Rambam and the Tur who said that Ksiva is good. No, but you know, he likes to be he, the Chazon's favorite strategy, which goes back to the Shach and others, is everyone's on my side. And he tries to take even those who seem to be on the other side and say, no, I don't mean it. So what does he do? He takes a page out of the Torah's Gittin's playbook and says, the only time Ksiva is good is if he writes to get in front of the Sefer. Excuse me, he writes to command in front of the Sefer. He writes to write in front of the Sefer. I can't speak, or doesn't want to speak. I hereby appoint you, Mr. Sefer, Rabbi Sefer, to write again for my wife, such and such, signed. Oh, so there, as to quote the Torah's Gittin's version of this, that's no worse than Harkana. The Gemara's decent children, Shasat Chake, if you nod your head, it's good enough. So here I nodded my hands. I use body language, sign language. I mean, if you see right, if you see it, that's when it's good. Ksiva b'fanav. Ksiva b'shalom b'fanav is no good. That's his basic breakthrough within the Rambam and the Torah, and it goes back to the Torah's Gittin. So the Avnei Nezer tries to prove that cannot be the case. Why? Because the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi quotes the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which is found in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is arguing with the Rabbanan Lechor on two things. One, it's basically boils down to Ksiva Kedibur. If Ksiva is Kedibur, then two things should emerge. One, that someone who can write is not a Cheresh. A Cheresh is Eino Shomea Veino Medaber. But if you can write, Ksiva Kedibur, you're in effect a Medaber. Two, if Ksiva is Kedibur, you can appoint someone to write a get by writing a letter of appointment. That's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Rabbanan say no to both. They might say that Ksiva is not Kedibur, he's considered a Cheresh. And number two, you need a verbal appointment. Abin Nezer explains that based upon Lanani Rishalmi, that we're talking about a case of a Ksiva Shalobafana, because you require a Kiyum. You wouldn't have a Kaiman Mayoto, it's a Gemara Lashon Anayin Aleph in the Bavli and the Rishalmi as well. He interprets it to mean a Kiyum means the guy's not there. So the fact that the guy's not there clearly, says Abin Nezer, is not the problem. Clearly is not the problem. Because the Gemara is linking two Rashbags and two Tanakamas. So if it's a question of number one, is he considered a Cheresh or a Bardas based upon writing? And number two, can he appoint someone to writing as opposed to speaking? Those two problems go together. I understand why they're both in the same Bryce at the same time I'm fighting about it. But if it's a case of a monkey wrench from left field of Mina Shalom Bafonov, and that's in effect what they're arguing about, which is what Rav Zalman Lechem explains what the Chazon Ish have to say. They're arguing at another point. Well, the Minish Lobafanov is good or no good. What does that have to do with the first Machloikas? It's unrelated to each other. So therefore, the distinction between Minish Ksiva Bafanov and Shalobafanov is slugged up by the Avnei Nezer and Rav Zalman Lechemia, and therefore, there is grounds to assume that the opinion that Ksiva works, Shalobafanov, is a valid halachic position. We shouldn't dismiss it out of hand. Oh. So now, because the Chazon Ish dismissed it, he said, look, 0 plus 0 is 0. Mina Shalobafanov and Mina Bixiva is 2 zeros and nothing. Against the Marimbi Brisk, quoting Piskei Tshuva, who says, even though either sheet alone is only a machlekes, but you put them both together, a svek sveka, he can be made. Kamz of Zahm, the Chambers is better than a svek sveka. There's not a single region in the whole wide world that we can identify who passes both. You already pointed out the Rana Rambam flip. Huh? Not a single Rishon. A single Rishon who passes both. It just happens to work out that way. Those who we know about, who are passing Shalom B'Fonav, are being machshik siva. Those are the pasuk siva machshla b'fanav. So the get should be good. He says, in effect, l'chol adayis, because that's just the way it works out. And that's the meaning of all but they did. They write kitzvu tznu. Chazanish had a wild idea that the Baal should write a get kosher with the rice in his own hand. To my knowledge, there's no bezin in the world that does it. To my knowledge. Because of technical reasons, it's hard to do it. There's the shmo, there's the muktam, there's all kinds of problems. Imagine. What I'd like to end the shiur with is the issue of the telephone. The telephone. It seems to me that the telephone is a very powerful device and should be used whenever possible in conjunction with the kitzvu tznu. I'm not saying take away the kitzvu tznu, chalila. I'm adding a chumrah. Use the telephone as well. Why? Because the Nias Daiti, even according to the Chazon Ish, who's the biggest machmer in the world over here, he might agree the telephone is good. Because you have simultaneous communication and command between the husband and the sofer. I have an electronic voice. Yes, there's someone to say, Rabbi Melech Shechter wanted to bring a riot. He wrote an article on Kvod HaRav many years ago. A riot from the bar. The bar is only Kol HaVara. You can't be able to hear Shefer. That's not such a Gavaldig Araya, because that's still his voice, although it comes in an echo, as opposed to an electronic voice. But so what's an electronic voice? That's no good for benching, for Abdullah. You can't do it on the telephone. But for this, I thought it should be good enough. Vanir's diet, it can't hurt. I thought it's an excellent device. And according to Chazon Ish. According to Zalman Nechemia, it's a direct command also. A direct command from one to the other. And then I think it would be very effective. So I recommend, and even the Beis Din of America also recommends, that whenever you rely on a kitzvu tznu, first of all, you shouldn't rely on it at all. Try to have the Baal and the sofer in the same place. If you can't, then a kitzvu tznu. When at all possible, you should have also a telephone conversation so that it can avoid b'cholam and create a greater degree of command. Yes, sir?
Why
would he?
Yeah, why is an electronic voice better than
me? I want to tell you a secret. Chazish happens to hold, he can be Yotzi, Megillas Esther with a microphone. You want to go get personal. And he happens to think an electronic voice is a good voice to some extent. But even though others disagree, I would still say that if it's no good for Megillah, it might still be good for this program. I have to stop here. And tomorrow we have a very important thing to talk about, nothing to do with Git, if I can't do with Kedushin, Siyat of the Shmaya. And the Bechina is on Sunday. What time? I'll be here 9:30. No Shia Sunday. Also, Monday is early Shia. Monday Shia is going to be on. We did it already on the sixth parrot. After the shiur, you'll get Mar Makomas to prepare later in the day.